Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Episode 29 of Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com. You can find Mediocrity Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio if you type in the multimedia men. But there's so much to talk about today. We have the Oscars to talk about. We have Bill Paxton to talk about. And we have, I think, there's going to be a discussion on how Austin Powers and Captain America are, in fact, pretty much the same person. I don't know, but we're going to get into it. I am joined by Jonathan Atterbury. How are you doing today, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend. Went up and hung out with my family for the weekend and just ate all kinds of food and hung out. Had a great time.
What does Jonathan Atterbury do with his family, per se? Is it like an Eyes Wide Shut party, or is it...
When I hang with the family, usually what we do is there's a lot of just chilling out in pajamas, okay. A lot of coffee drinking. So a lot of philosophical discussion, stuff like that.
Basically, so it's bullshit. Like a Monday.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like every other day of my week, just with my family members.
It just happens to be
members.
With his family, yeah.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, though.
It was awesome. And then, of course, there's more, you know, like playing My Little Pony and stuff like that with my niece.
Are you
so
a
there's
brony?
A lot of that as well. I'm not. She is a
nice
big fan of it,
because then
though.
He doesn't have to play by himself.
Exactly. It's nice when I have company.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time this weekend. And joining us again, as always, Jeremy Maggart. How's it going, buddy?
Good, man.
What's the latest? What's the latest comic book stuff that you're working on?
Oh, I'm just working on Primal Instinct. I'm drawing a splash page with some armored Triceratopses on it.
Well, that's pretty bad.
That's always fun.
That's pretty cool. What did you have a good weekend, too? Was your weekend like Jonathan's?
No. I just hung out with Josie. We went to the gym, did some grocery shopping. It was pretty fun.
Sweet. Did you get some s'mores?
I did not.
Oh. It's a wasted opportunity there, I think.
I disagree.
You went to the grocery store and didn't get s'mores? Fucking loser.
What's wrong with you? But let's move into the topic. The Oscars happened last night. And, you know, if you listen to our show Mediocrity before, we talk about movies. And some would argue that the Oscars might be the biggest night for the movies. That's because they award for best achievement in, you know, filmmaking. And, you know, I was pretty upset this year. Actually, I didn't really watch the Oscars a whole lot this year. First time in a while. Just because I thought most of the nominations were pretty terrible. But before we get into, like, the big thing, I just want to go over that now we have to say the Oscar-winning film Suicide Squad, because Suicide Squad won an Oscar last night. It's
what
so
Oscar
upsetting.
Did it win?
Huh?
What Oscar did it win?
Best makeup effects.
Were the makeup effects good in that movie? Really, were they really Oscar-worthy, do you think?
The only thing that I can think of might be Killer Croc, but I think Star Wars and Star Trek were better.
There's definitely some.
Yeah, because Star Trek Beyond was really good.
Yeah, the makeup effects in that were great, and if you know, like you said, in Star Wars and other things like that.
Yeah, Rogue One.
All kinds of cool shit.
And like Fantastic Beasts, and you're just kind of. How is Suicide Squad an Oscar-winning film now? How did this happen? Because Jeremy
it's
saw
all
it, right?
It's all topsy-turvy, man. The whole world is ass
right?
side up right now.
It is. Jeremy, you saw Suicide Squad, right?
I did.
And do you think this deserved to win an Oscar ever at all?
No, especially not for that.
And Jonathan, you have neglected or just made it your personal mission not to see this movie, right?
Yeah, it's the latter. It's now a vendetta that I have against DC movies.
I just can't believe it. I just really feel like Rogue One or Star Trek, the third one, just was... Oh, my God, I just can't... I don't know what to think anymore. I just... Clown shoes, it's where it's at. fucking clown shoes. Most of the Oscars were fairly boring. Hacksaw Ridge picked up 2 Oscars, which is awesome. Go Mel Gibson for war movies.
I still haven't seen that one, but I'm going to be renting it probably tonight because I've been dying to see it. What did it win for?
I believe it won for best editing and best sound design.
Okay, that's cool.
And the other sound Oscar went to Arrival, which was the only thing Arrival won.
That's bullshit that it's the only thing Arrival won for. That was probably, I'm going to say that Arrival was the best movie of the year in my book.
Okay, so I don't agree with the best movie of the year, but out of all the nominations for Best Picture, Arrival was in that. It should have won.
It should have.
Which brings us to the Best Picture category and what happened last night, which was insane. So it was like the anniversary of Bonnie and Clyde. So Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty came out on stage to present Best Picture. And Warren Beatty opened up the envelope. He looked a little weird doing it, like he was stalling and looking around, like he seemed very confused. And after all the nominees were announced for Best Picture, he just like looked around after looking at the card, and he turned it to Faye Dunaway, and Faye Dunaway said, "The winner is La La Land." Everybody cheered, applauded. Everybody that was in La La Land and made La La Land who was at the Oscars got up on stage and everybody made their speech. And then you just start noticing a bunch of stagehands wandering on stage talking to people. Well, supposedly, La La Land didn't win Best Picture. Moonlight won Best Picture, and they had to get everybody's Oscars to Moonlight. On stage after everybody accepted the award for La La Land.
Oh, man. The two of the presenters just read the card wrong, or what happened?
No, they were given the Best Actress award for Emma Stone who won previously, you know, like 2 awards prior to that. And that's why Warren Beatty was like looking around like, what's going on here? So... So the Oscars, they hire this company, which is an accounting firm, to like tally all the numbers for the Oscar winners, and they fucked up royally by doing this because there's a person from this company on either side of the stage that makes sure you have the right card. That didn't happen.
But that is bad.
And so if somebody reads the wrong name, they're immediately supposed to go out there. But they didn't. They let literally 4 people give an acceptance speech for La La Land.
Oh, my God.
And it was painful to watch. And poor Jimmy Kimmel just, like, had to basically save grace, you know? I mean, if y'all haven't seen this yet, go to YouTube and watch it. It is just – it's crazy.
I watched a little bit of it last night after watching Black Sails, and – it wasn't even clear what happened, like, during the show. Like, I didn't even know she was given the wrong card. I had no idea why she basically said the completely wrong movie.
Well, because they had the award, and mm-hmm. it said it was for Best Actress, Emma Stone, and La La Land. So yeah. Warren Beatty knew, like, this wasn't right. But instead of, like, calling for help or something, he just, like, turned it to Faye Dunaway. And Faye Dunaway didn't know shit. And Dunaway just said La La Land. And, oh, it was so bad. It was so horrifying just to watch it all happen. Because literally, they had 30 people up there, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone. They had the Oscars in hand, and they're like,
half of them were crying.
Yeah. Oh, it was just.
I'm so happy. Then afterwards, they got to keep crying, but for a different reason.
Yeah.
It was so painful. Humiliation. So painful to watch. Which means, I mean, the Oscars have gone down in ratings for so long, and the Oscars. I usually watch the Oscars because usually there's decent films nominated, and this year was just all Oscar bait films. Like, I'm happy for Moonlight that it won, but I don't think it was the best film of the year for sure. but I
well, good. I'm glad that La La Land got humiliated a little bit. I think they deserve it.
They did. They won several awards. Like Emma Stone won for actress, which was horrible. Like that, she was like the one that shouldn't have won.
I will never support a movie that's a musical with a bunch of people that can't sing to save their fucking souls and that need just buckets of pitch correction to carry a tune. It's like, get out of there. It's like you have no business being in a musical if you can't sing. It's just the most absurd thing ever.
Well,
it's a good point. I haven't watched the movie.
You haven't watched
it? I haven't either. It's just like the DC stuff. I'm just not going to do it. It's just, you know, to me, all of the Hollywood remakes of Broadway, you know, Broadway productions are just shameful.
Well, you should definitely see La La Land. It is a good movie. Is it Best Picture? No. It is a damn good movie, though. And to credit to Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, they definitely did practice for months on end with singing and actually playing their instruments.
Well, so did The Rock for Moana, but that doesn't mean he's a good singer.
The Rock was always an amazing singer, even in WWE.
They're just, I mean, it's just like these people, just because you take singing lessons for three months or 6 months or a year, just so you can basically hit roughly the right note so you're not completely tone deaf, that doesn't mean that you deserve to have the starring role in a musical.
I agree, because it's not even like you wouldn't put this on a play like on Broadway and then get Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling to be in it. You would go get professional Broadway singers and dancers,
people to star that are in play. That have been practicing their whole life to be great dancers and great singers. And that's just, you know, those are the people that deserve to have these roles. I don't want to see Emma Stone portraying someone who's pretending to sing, just like I didn't want to see Catherine Zeta-Jones and the people in Chicago and stuff like that doing it. It's always just embarrassing for them.
Yeah, but you know why they do that. It sells tickets.
I know they're doing it to sell tickets, but yeah. It's to sell tickets to people that are, you know, that are ignorant about what it takes to be a good performer and a good musician.
But and then it also goes to show that the priority is selling tickets, not delivering the best product possible.
Yeah, not delivering good art.
I mean, for myself, I thought Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone did a great job in the film. I don't think Emma Stone deserved a Best Actress nomination by any means, but
she should have got the Best Actress for Superbad. Let's be real.
I totally agree. totally agree. But right, I mean, it's a damn good movie. La La Land's a damn good movie, and definitely should be seen. It's directed by the same guy who did Whiplash, and it's good.
But now, Whiplash was a great music movie. I know that also. What's his name? The lead actor in that movie was not a professional drummer by any stretch of the imagination, but
he did play drums in high school and middle school.
Yeah, but it was still a great movie, and I didn't really. It was more. It wasn't really about his performance so much as it was just about music as a whole, which I appreciated.
No, I think you'll like La La Land. I think if worth a viewing, it's definitely worth a viewing.
Maybe I'll check it out. I always have a hard time. I mean, I love Broadway productions. I really do. When I can see a great musical on stage, it's so much fun and so enjoyable. But I tend to despise the Hollywood actors trying to pull it off on film.
Well, you give it a shot. But Moonlight did win, and that's pretty cool because it's about a gay black guy growing up, kind of, and they show stages of his life, kind of like similar to Boyhood.
So it's your biography?
My biography, absolutely. It was like, it was like my life on screen.
a total flashback.
If you haven't seen Moonlight, it is very good. I don't think it was the best film, but again, it's Oscar bait movie stuff. Did any of you see Zootopia?
Yes.
Okay, that did win animated feature film, so
that's cool. I thought that was a great movie. I loved it.
For visual effects, for special effects, you know, we like that. Rogue One was nominated, Kubo and the Two Strings, Doctor Strange, and Deepwater Horizon, as well as The Jungle Book. Jungle Book 1, which I'm actually pretty excited for because that movie looked incredible and was all filmed on a studio in L.A.
Yeah, that was a stunning-looking film. I wish that Kubo and the Two Strings would have won, though.
Which is interesting because that could be considered a animated film, but I know why they did the visual effects because it was actually using like the claymation type of thing.
Yeah, I just thought that was one of the more interesting films that I've watched recently. That was such a cool looking movie.
Yeah, and I would say that Doctor Strange was awesome. Like the visual effects in that were incredible. Better than
I agree.
But I'm happy.
Better than Jungle Book, too, in my opinion. I mean, Jungle Book looked good for what it was, but it still didn't quite jive in my mind. When I was watching it, I was like, I felt like I was just looking at a green screen the whole time.
Really? See, I really thought they were in the jungle. Like, I really did. It looked that good.
What did you think about it, Jeremy?
I thought it was good, but, like, I feel like when I watch the newest Planet of the Apes movie, like, that to me, I thought the animals looked more real than, for example, like in Jungle Book.
Yeah, I agree with that. The apes in that one looked ridiculously good.
Jungle Book was good, but most of the time it was pretty good, but then there were times when I would look at it and it wouldn't sell for me.
And like you said, Brian, Doctor Strange had just mind-blowing stuff. When you're watching it, you're like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this before. And that's what deserves to win. I think when you're, trailblazing and doing things that have never been done before on film, that's the shit that deserves to win.
I agree. My first pick would definitely be Doctor Strange,
So what you guys are saying then is that the prequels for Star Wars should have won some Oscars, right? For all the digital backgrounds and everything?
Absolutely. I think that they should have won Oscars because it was totally different stuff. For its time, I remember when I watched Phantom Menace for the first time, my little 8-year-old mind was totally blown, man.
Did it not win any Oscars back then?
I don't think so, did it?
No, I don't think they did.
I'm gonna have to look. I'll have to look that up. We'll get back to you because I don't remember, but I remember, yeah, because episode 1 and 2 still look pretty horrific visual effects wise now. But back then, I remember seeing it in theater like, this is awesome. But yep. There you go. All right. Well, that's Oscars, Link. That's our Oscars. I really wish Captain Fantastic or The Witch would have gotten a nomination, but unfortunately.
The Witch deserved it, man. Absolutely. Same thing with Captain. You're right. Both of those movies deserve some nomination.
Well, Viggo Mortensen was nominated for Best Actor, but of course it went to Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea.
And how is that movie? I haven't seen that one yet.
Manchester by the Sea is a good movie, but again, Oscar bait, depressing, only worth watching once. There's better stuff there.
That's too bad, because he did such a great job in Captain Fantastic.
He did. And a lot of people are pissed that Casey Affleck won because he thinks it was supposed to be Denzel, or in addition to his... sexual harassment to girls or women. So, but that's neither here nor there. let's get on from this Oscars stuff right now and talk about.
I have one funny Oscar story for you, though.
I can't wait to hear it.
You're going to hear it. So last night when we turned it on, it was right about the time when Samuel L. Jackson was giving his whatever award he was giving. And he comes out in this like suit that's like blue and it's fuzzy looking. And Josie's like, man, boy, that suit looks so awesome. And I look up and I just said, what is that, velvet? And I got no response from her whatsoever.
I get it.
I don't get it. What is it?
He'll never get it. It's from
Sleepless. Is it a Bill Murray joke?
No, it's from Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
That's beautiful. What is that? Velvet?
Velvet?
That makes me think of Seinfeld, where they're touching the jackets. They're touching the fabric. You know what I'm talking about, right, Brian?
I do know what you're talking about.
Are you going to tell them what that's actually from?
I kind of don't want to.
Okay.
Do you?
I feel like you should.
All right.
We have time.
Coming to America. Eddie Murphy plays the old white guy in the barbershop, and James Earl Jones comes in as the King of Zamunda with an absolute, like a lion on his shoulder.
Yes. Okay. Now I remember that part.
Now, do you get Jeremy's joke?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, Josie didn't get it at all. It was great.
if Kimbrell listens to us, he will get that joke. But yeah, that's a good one. Oh, actually, I wanted to ask you, Jeremy, you lived in Los Angeles for several years. Did you ever get into that Oscar hoopla while you lived there?
No.
Or have any stories when that went on?
No. I pretty much gave no fucks.
Gave no fucks. I want to know that before we move on, what's the craziest or the most surreal experience with a celebrity living in L.A.?
I didn't really have too many surreal ones. I mean, just met a couple people working at Guitar Center, but that's pretty much it.
All right.
One time I was shopping for headphones in Hollywood I think it was a Sony store or something like that right around Hollywood. No, it was Culver City, something along those lines in the L.A. area. And I look over to my right and there's Chris Rock shopping for headphones all of 2 feet away from me. And we just have one of those moments like whenever I see celebrities, the last thing I want to do is be like, oh, my God, take a picture with me. Like, to me, that's just like the least cool thing you can possibly do to a celebrity. So I just looked at him and he looked over at me and I just nodded at him and he nodded back at me and we went back to shopping for headphones.
That's awesome.
That's my Chris Rock story.
It was like we just understood that there was a love for 2 seconds about
there was. I just was like, hey, I acknowledge you. And he was like, thanks for not being a pain in my ass.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Awesome. I like it. I can't wait to, because since you live in like the Los Angeles greater Metroplex area now, I can't wait to see what celebrities you might have a run-in with.
Well, you know, it's not really as common as people think it is. I lived in Hollywood for 2 years. When I was like 17, I moved into an apartment right above Hollywood Boulevard. And I saw Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
The drummer, I saw him shopping at my grocery store. I turned around when I was shopping for videos in my video store. There was Heather Graham right behind me in line. And she was surprisingly unbeautiful. It was kind of depressing to see. It's depressing to see these people in real life because, you know, Heather Graham in the movies is always just so perfectly hot. And then we see her in real life and it's not like she's not pretty, but she's just average pretty. You know what I mean? She's not amazing. If you were to see, like, when I saw Heather Graham, I was like, you know, she was pretty, but just like forgettably pretty, except for the fact that it was Heather Graham. And I saw the bad guy from The Mask too. Not as in like the second Mask movie, but the actual bad guy from The Mask. What was his name? Victor or
the one with Jim something Carrey, along those right? lines.
Yeah, the one with Jim Carrey.
Okay, all right. It's been a while since I've seen that movie, but I'm glad you saw that.
Yeah, those are my exciting celebrity stories. It's really not that exciting.
Well, speaking of celebrities, we're very, very sad to talk about, or happy to talk about him, but we're sad that Bill Paxton, a beloved native Texan from Fort Worth, passed away, unfortunately, this past weekend from complications due to heart surgery, which is unfortunate. He was 61 years old, and he lived in Los Angeles, but he was definitely born and raised in Fort Worth, which is pretty cool. But yeah, he died. That sucks. And he's like one of like the most iconic actors ever. We have definitely talked about him on this podcast before.
We have.
So Bill Paxton, not to be confused with Bill Pullman, although I read somewhere and I agree with it, maybe Bill Pullman had like a quickening of some sort when Bill Paxton passed away. Bill Paxton, I mean, he's in Weird Science, he was in The Terminator, he was in Aliens, he was in Predator 2, True Lies, Apollo 13, Twister, Titanic, the HBO series Big Love. I mean, he's been in so many movies, and he's always amazing in, like, I think, like, some of the best parts in a movie. I mean, he even directed an excellent film called Frailty with Matthew McConaughey, which he also starred in. He's a badass. That
was
a
good movie, yeah. He was a talented dude.
Yeah, so I want, like, some of your, like, what was some of the first things you've ever seen Bill Paxton in that you, like, some of the roles that you really love him in?
Well, okay. My personal favorite Bill Paxton role is always going to be the sleazy car salesman in True Lies.
He has some amazing lines in True Lies.
I'm navel, Lind. Just, I'm pathetic. I got a tiny dick.
Doesn't he have the line that says, like, ass like a 10-year-old boy?
Yes, he does. That's right before Arnold, like just punches him as he's driving the car in his fantasy.
Yeah, and I'm very curious, like, because James Cameron has directed True Lies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton's been in tons of James Cameron movies, as is Arnold. But I'm curious, like, lines like, ass like a 10-year-old boy, I got a small dick, it's pathetic. Do you think that was improv by Bill Paxton, or maybe written by Tom Arnold, or, like, if that was actually in the script? Because that's, like, gold, man.
I can't imagine that was improv. Those lines are too brilliant to be just off the cuff.
Really? You don't think that's the brilliance of Bill Paxton or Tom Arnold?
I don't think so. I think that was written, that had to have been written into the script. It's just too good. It's too perfect. So, but my first real exposure to Bill Paxton, I think, was in the film Twister. I think Twister came out. I don't remember what year did Twister come out. Okay. So yeah, I was 10 years old and it was right around the perfect time for me to be watching Twister. And to this day, Twister is one of my dad's favorite movies of all time. Like, so my dad, he's really into, like, surround sound, like home theater systems. And even though there are a million movies that have come out since Twister with way better sound production, that is his demo movie.
That's like, demo right, movie. What
I'm
going to
show you my new home theater system. Sit down. I'm going to play you the tornado scene from Twister.
Well, which tornado scene? There's like 100 of them.
The one where he ties the belt around himself.
So the very end.
Where the tornado's going all around you because he's using the scientifically proven belt strapping method.
You want to survive a tornado, just strap yourself in with a leather belt and you'll be fine.
And don't get me wrong, Twister is a great movie, but it always cracks me up that my dad is, like, so into the sound in that movie.
That is pretty funny. So Twister, huh? All right. Yep. I like it. I like that movie. It's funny. It's hilarious. All right, Jeremy, what about you, man?
First exposure probably would have to be Aliens 2 that I can think of. But, you know, I mean, of watching him and kind of knowing who he is, it's probably True Lies, but my first actual exposure is most likely Aliens 2.
Aliens 2?
Yeah.
He was so good in Aliens 2. He played a guy that is basically like would be like a real life. His name was Private Hudson, and he was like the technician of the ship. But and he played like on the outside a badass, but on the inside just fucking scared of everything.
I like to imagine that when Bill Paxton passed in the hospital and he like flatlined, that the surgeon was just under his breath like, game over, man. Game over.
Oh, man, you know that happened.
I think it was a tremendous missed opportunity if nobody said that when he died.
Dude, like, tons of people. I think one of the headlines of a major web-based news outlet said, game over, man, game over.
Well, I really think that needs to be on his tombstone.
It might be. We don't know yet.
That would be a pretty epic tombstone.
But and you know what? I read that Bill Paxton is the only person, or one of two people actually, to be killed by an alien, a predator, and a Terminator.
Who's the other one?
Lance Henriksen.
It might be Lance Henriksen. Yeah.
It is.
It's Lance Henriksen.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
Which is awesome. That's really cool. I mean, like, if we remember The Terminator in 1984, which is one of Bill Paxton's, like, first big things, but he was only in it for, like, a minute or two. Arnold Schwarzenegger kicks his ass because Bill Paxton plays like a punk, like a punker on the street.
Yep.
And then, of course, how can we all forget Bill Paxton in Weird Science from 1985?
I've still never seen that movie.
You've never seen that?
I've never seen Weird Science. That's totally gone under my radar. Well,
that's a John Hughes movie, and it's so good. And Bill Paxton is hilarious in it.
I always keep meaning to watch it because I'm a big fan of John Hughes movies.
Yeah, he's like the really mean older brother, and he's amazing. He's so good in it. So good.
He plays a Biff-type character?
Yes. if you can see that. And then, of course, Apollo 13 was so good. Bill Paxton was great in that. And if you remember, after Titanic, as Bill Paxton was in Titanic, he was the guy that, like, led the ship to go find or whatever, Titanic or whatever.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I was watching that. I saw that he was in Titanic, and I just couldn't place who I was like, he was in that movie? I completely had forgotten that he was the captain of the ship.
Well, he was like, yeah, he was the of present day of them going to search for the Titanic.
Right, that's what I mean. The lead scientist or whatever they call those people that go hunting for ships.
So James Cameron made a documentary called Ghosts of the Abyss, and it was a documentary about them using the new camera technology to go down and film the Titanic. And they went down to the ocean floor. Well, Bill Paxton went actually underwater down there and was scared shitless going down there. If you've never seen the documentary, it's the funniest thing you'll ever watch, because he's literally like trying to narrate but not be scared in real life going down to the deep.
I would be shitting my pants too. That would be like the most incredibly unnerving thing I can imagine.
It was so good. There's like a part in it where Bill Paxton asks the guy who's operating like the little tiny vessel no bigger than your room, so if I have to go to the bathroom, where do I go? And the guy, without breaking a sweat, was like, there's a bottle right there. And Bill Paxton's look on his face is just so priceless. But
I got a funny story about peeing in a bottle.
Okay, what's your peeing in a bottle story?
So I was driving back from Palm Springs with a friend of mine. I was probably 18 years old-ish. And I had really, really had to pee. He had a little two-seater, like, Datsun kind of truck. You know what I mean? Really small two-seater. I really had to pee, but he was in a hurry to get back from work. We had spent the weekend out there. And so I really had to go, but he was like, no, dude, like, I don't have time to pull over and pee, so here's a bottle. And he handed me, like, a Coke bottle. I was like, just pee into that. And I was like, I don't think this is going to work. I just didn't see it happening the right way. He's like, trust me, I do it all the time. You'll be fine. So as we're driving, I whip it out and I start peeing into this Coke bottle. And the problem is, though, like a little bit missed and hit the side of the Coke bottle and spritzed like the windshield on the inside. And then Jesus. My friend started screaming, being like, oh, God, what the fuck are you doing? At which point I began laughing uncontrollably. My pee was hitting the side of the bottle and just going everywhere at this point. And so my pee, I'm completely out of control, laughing hysterically, which is only making me pee more erratically. And so within about 30 seconds, most of the inside of his car was dripping with my urine.
Jesus Christ.
And so that's my peeing in a bottle story. It's why I won't do it anymore. I didn't think it was a good idea at the time, and I just had proof that it wasn't a good idea.
So it wasn't like a Dumb and Dumber situation?
No, it was a real thing, and it's a great thing that it happened.
Well, my goodness. My goodness. We just went off the rails, folks. We had to hear about a Jonathan peeing in a bottle story.
But it was more funny. Like peeing all over a car
peeing
story.
All over
but
a car.
It did happen.
The man can't aim. I don't know what to say.
It's a small target, man. It's a very small target in a moving vehicle.
Well, you did the best you could, I guess.
I tried.
You tried. Let's talk more about Bill Paxton. I mean, he's been in so many movies. Did you ever see he was in Stripes in 1981. He was one of the soldiers. He was in Commando. He worked a lot with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was in Navy SEALs, Indian Summer, Tombstone.
He was in Tombstone. That's right. He was the younger brother, right?
Yeah,
the
Morgan.
Younger Earp brother. Yeah.
He was also in Mighty Joe Young, U-571, which was an excellent submarine movie.
World War II submarine movie. Yep.
Yeah, and
with John Bon Jovi. Let's not forget that part.
Was he in that?
Yes, he is.
Oh God. We're sorry. Vertical Limit. He was in that. Frailty, where he was the director, which if you've never seen Frailty is one of the coolest horror movies you'll ever watch. Don't you think?
Is it one of the coolest? I don't know if I'd say it's one
Frailty's
of the coolest.
Frailty's awesome. There's like nothing else
movie.
Like Frailty. He was in Spy Kids, which is
classic of American cinema.
Which his character name was Dinky Winks. He worked with
That's also Jeremy's Pornhub screen name.
Dinky Weeks. he was in what was the movie with Broken Lizard, the guys who did Super Troopers. He was in Club Dread as Coconut Pete, so he worked with them. He directed the movie The Greatest Game Ever Played. He was in Million Dollar Arm. He was recently in Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. He was in Nightcrawler. He was in a lot of good shit. And then, of course,
he was one of the funniest parts of Edge of Tomorrow.
He really was. He was like the army sergeant, right? Or the commander, yeah. Right? Yeah, he was great.
He was so good at being funny in an unconventional way.
Because you had to sit there and listen to his speech to Tom Cruise like over and over and over again in that movie. And not one time in all of the like repeating of it was he ever not funny.
Yeah.
Like no, it never got monotonous. Like it was hilarious every time.
It was so good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger put out a Facebook video in response to his death and was apparently they were like really, really tight friends. He said he was one of his best friends and he put out a really nice video about it.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, supposedly everybody was like, dude, he was like the best guy ever. He was so nice and sweet and funny and like passionate about film and acting, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, he did television series. He was in HBO's Big Love as the main guy, Bill Henriksen, which was awesome. He won the awards for Hatfield and McCoys. And, of course, recently he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was great on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
So who did he play on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
He played a guy, his name was John Garrett, I think is what it was, and that was back when he joined the show right around the time that Cap 2 came out and that it was revealed that Hydra had infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D., and so he was like a high-ranking like S.H.I.E.L.D. Hydra operative, and one of the things that he did was recruit agents for Hydra and train them and basically kind of deploy them.
Oh, all right.
And so he was the guy. There was a character on the show, Grant Ward, that turned out to be a Hydra agent, and John Garrett was like the guy that trained Grant Ward.
All right. That's cool. I haven't seen that little like few episodes he was in, but I definitely want to.
Yeah, it was like six or seven episodes, something like that.
It was cool. No, I like the guy. And supposedly, I did a little research on him. He was in a Limp Bizkit music video as well.
Bill Paxton?
Yeah. For the song Eat You Alive by Limp Bizkit, he played the sheriff in the music video.
That's really weird.
That's crazy. Like, he was just all around. But yeah, he was a certified badass, I believe. He was just was a good dude. So yeah.
He will be missed, sorely.
He will definitely be missed. And like, I mean, if we ever get a True Lies 2, there will be no Bill Paxton. Which is a shame. Which is very unfortunate. Do you think that I can't even ask that question. Like, who could replace him in True Lies 2 as a character, his character? Nobody.
I could see Charlie Day doing a decent job of portraying that character.
That is actually pretty good.
Some reason, that's just who pops into my mind as who could be that guy.
So is Charlie Day like the young Bill Paxton?
Yeah.
I think you could have somebody like Jason Sudeikis could do it also.
Yeah, I could see that. Oh, Paxton, we miss you. Bill Pullman, keep your soul intact, man. We need you, Bill Pullman.
The quickening.
We do. Right, so let's move on. So, earlier in the show, I brought up that we're going to talk about this. So supposedly, Jeremy has a theory that Captain America and Austin Powers are quite one and the same. And I am very happy and can't wait, excited to hear this theory.
My theory is that it's really the same movie with two dudes with different builds.
Well, explain.
So we'll go over the similarities. Both guys, patriotic agents for their country, correct?
I guess so, yeah. British, the BBC, yep. And the USA.
They both get frozen in time.
Wow.
They have to acclimate to their future. You have moments of each of them trying to figure stuff out.
They both have like lists of things they need to check out from their time.
Yeah, very true. They both have evil bald enemies.
Red Skull and Dr. Evil, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. They each have a dance number.
What was the first dance number?
First Captain America. There's a musical number. Him selling war bonds.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And, of course, the intro for Austin Powers.
Yeah.
What else we got, Jeremy?
Well, they each both get new girlfriends that happen to be related to their old girlfriends.
Oh, my God. Yes, you're so right.
So, you know, when you kind of stack it all up, it's pretty much the same movie.
It's the same freaking movie.
It's just that Mike Myers is a little bit buffer.
Yeah.
And hairier.
That's the only difference. And hairier and more, a little more time muscular.
The has Austin yeah. Powers gotten a team together, though? Is the leader of a team yet?
Unfortunately, no, but that really needs to be the next Austin Powers. There needs to be an Avengers-style Austin Powers.
And it'll come full circle. They probably both saw Therapist, too, I think. Or did they? Did Captain America ever see a therapist in the movies?
Did what?
Captain America ever see a therapist in the movie?
Not that I can recall.
I'm trying to remember.
I don't think so.
I like it. It's good. It's bulletproof. A solid fucking theory, yeah. For sure. So going with that, do you think you can see Captain America in a Austin Powers movie and vice versa, Austin Powers and the Avengers?
Oh, nothing would make me happier than seeing Austin Powers show up in the Avengers. I mean, I don't see it happening, but it would be the coolest thing ever.
Do you think
you got a better shot? You got a better shot at Chris Evans getting a cameo in an Austin Powers movie.
Yep.
That
would be fantastic.
That would be pretty funny. Oh my God, what would Austin Powers do in an Avengers movie?
I don't. So in the next Avengers movie, when they're showing, like, there's been rumors that they're going to be showing, you know, characters like the Defenders and stuff like that, that are doing little battles while the big Avengers are kicking ass in a galactic scale. You've got the more localized Avengers that are doing the footwork and stuff like that. They'd have to just do that with Austin Powers, you know, show him kicking ass a little bit, you know, like karate, judo chopping a few people.
Gino chop team.
In the streets of London.
Yes. That would be amazing. I don't think it would take away from the Avengers at all.
I think it might. I think it might fully derail the entire movie.
It would be very distracting.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, for the next 5 minutes, everyone would just be like, did we just fucking see Austin Powers judo chopping someone in the middle of the Avengers movie?
He could be the tag on the end of the Infinity Wars movie. It's like, oh, he's joining.
That would be great. A little tag on at the end.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love it. All right, so I like that theory. If you have any other theories or similarities, please let us know. So next week, Nintendo Switch comes out. Do any of you have any thoughts on the new Nintendo Switch console? Or do you think fucking Nintendo's over and done?
I have an opinion. I purchased the Wii U. Mm-hmm. And was greatly disappointed by the lack of software support for it.
Okay.
That was the thing that angered me most. I mean, I bought the new system and they put out, I mean, so what, why do people buy Nintendo? It's so they can get the proprietary titles like your Pokemon games, Legend of Zelda, Mario, Mario Kart, Metroid, things like that. And when they put out this Wii U, they didn't release any good games for any of those titles. The only one they did was Mario Kart.
Oh, everything else, Zelda. Oh wait, for Wii U?
They didn't make a new title for Zelda for Wii U. For
oh
Zelda.
Yeah, for Wii U. Okay, not.
They just remastered two of the older games, which yes. is bullshit. so that really bothered me, and it really upset me because I I purchased the thing and waited for a year to 2 years until they released any good games, and they just didn't. So eventually I just sold it. And then they're like, yeah, instead of making good games for this system that you've already purchased, we're going to go ahead and just make a new system. They're putting out too many systems too quickly without any good software support for them. And it's just pissing people off. I'm going to be holding off on buying the Nintendo Switch because it's a cool idea. And if they have the software support for that system, then I would absolutely go buy it. If they put out a great new Mario game and all the titles that we want, I know they've got the new Legend of Zelda game coming out for that, and that looks rad. But it's going to have to be more than just one great game. I need a new Mario Kart game. I need all the reasons to buy a Nintendo property, and then I would be happy to buy it as long as they actually give you good software support for it.
Yeah, there is – so on launch date, March 3rd, the Zelda game, it will be released. But I don't think Mario Kart nor the new Mario game will be released until almost Christmas time.
Yeah, and it's just a big mystery as to whether those are going to be any good or whether – I know they've got a new Bomberman, which is cool. That's one of those proprietary Nintendo titles that we all hope for. But no word of a Mega Man or anything like that. And those are the big ones that we all hope to hear.
I agree. So, Jeremy, did you – I never remember if you were a Nintendo person growing up. Were you?
No. We had lots of Segas and Sega Genesis.
Yeah, so did you ever have a Wii or a Wii U or ever play that or ever like any of that?
Mm-mm.
All right, so you are definitely not doing the Nintendo Switch.
No, but that's mostly just because it's not Mass Effect, so I don't really care.
Which comes out on March 21st. We're so close
to
Mass Effect.
And I will be playing that constantly until Destiny 2 comes out.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'll be getting Destiny 2 and then Red Dead 2. There's just so much coming out. It's going to be...
Just Mass Effect. Mass Effect is all I care about right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Video game-wise, it's like I don't even want to think about any other video games until Mass Effect comes out. I'm saving myself.
Yes, yeah, I am...
We need to do some research about the various special editions and see what's worth it.
Yeah, I was checking that. I have to at least get the second tier. I can't just get the basic tier for Mass Effect anything.
Yeah.
I need to get on this Mass Effect wagon with y'all.
Just get the new game. Don't even worry about playing the old games yet. I mean, if you like the new game and you love it, then go back and play the old ones. But you're not going to have time to appreciate the other three before this one comes out in like 3 weeks.
Okay. All right. So there's that. There is there's Mass Effect coming out. I want to go back to the Nintendo Switch real quick because Nintendo, I had a Wii. I never bought the Wii U. I like the Wii because it had the games, like you said, that were awesome. But the wireless ability, like the network, it was terrible. It was just awful. But
it was revolutionary. I mean, I remember like playing countless hours of tennis and bowling and stuff like that and how much fun that was.
It was fun.
But that was the best part about the Wii.
Correct.
It was that one stupid game that came with it.
This Nintendo Switch, you're going to be able to like play it on your TV and then literally pick it up and bring it with you and play it portably anywhere.
Which is rad. It's a cool idea. I think one of the things that really also upset me about the Wii U was that they made like five different controller types for that system. And different games required different controllers.
Which sucks.
Which sucks big time because I was like, okay, cool. So I'm going to buy four controllers so when friends can come over, we can all play Mario Kart and stuff like that. And then sure enough, I start playing Mario Kart when that comes out. And they're like, oh, you need four different controllers because these ones suck big time for trying to play this game.
Jesus.
And then each controller was like $50. So it's just you're spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars just buying goddamn controllers so you can play these party games. Because, that's one of the best things about Nintendo, in my opinion, is that being able to do things like Mario Party and Mario Kart and multiplayer stuff, same screen with your friends. It's the only system that really prioritizes stuff like that still.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And we need to keep that alive. It has to stay. I just don't want to see it try to be a PlayStation or try to be an Xbox. I want to see Nintendo hone in on what it's good at, which is these proprietary titles and being same screen fun for your friends and just explode that, make that amazing.
See, I'd rather just have Nintendo go out and just sell the rights to their games to Xbox and PS4.
It depends, because if they do those things, it could lose a lot of the what makes those games fun and unique and special.
I mean, Nintendo can still develop them. I just don't know. I mean, it would just be on other consoles, because Nintendo does not share at all, really. Their main
titles. They don't. They're incredibly stingy about it, because they realize that's pretty much the only thing they have going for themselves.
But mm-hmm. Don't you think they could make, like, billions of dollars with Zelda and Mario?
Well, I think that if this system is a flop, that they're going to have to do that. I can't imagine that they're going to be able to just continue releasing flop after flop after flop.
Yeah, I hope not.
I think that if this Switch is not popular, they're going to have to do what, you know, go the way of Sega and just sell.
Yeah, there you go. One thing I want to bring up, there's a new device coming out soon later this year. It's called the Caavo, if I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, Caavo. And this is a set-top box that is supposedly, Caavo is like Italian, I think, for one wire. And basically, the set-top box you'll be able to do Amazon on it, you'll be able to do iTunes, you'll be able to do Xbox, PS4, and any like subscription-based cable company on it, which sounds awesome. And nobody has done this yet. This is the first of its kind.
So when you say you could do Xbox on it, what do you mean?
Supposedly, like, your Xbox account, your PS4, you'll be able to play the games and do all your stuff on it, all, like Xbox Gold and
PS Really? Network. I find that hard to believe that Microsoft and PS would be like, yeah, that's fine. You guys can use our shit like that.
So, yeah, check out Caavo, Caavo. It's okay. Not out yet, but it looks pretty awesome. There's 8 HDMI hookups to it. I think this is going to be kind of a way, because we do not have like a Apple TV, you know, iTunes and Amazon thing all in the same thing. So I think it's like one big box.
Yeah, your closest to that's the Roku.
Well, so like even Roku, you can't even do most of that. I mean, can you do iTunes on Roku?
I don't know. I have to look. I know you can. No. You've got access to Google Play.
Yeah, I didn't think you could do
iTunes. Apple
and
has
Amazon.
It, yeah, iTunes has it limited, so you can only do. I mean, Apple has it limited, so you can only do like the iTunes and stuff like that on their Apple TV.
And so Amazon and Apple do not work well together. Hence, you won't.
No, they don't let you do each other's things. So if you have Apple TV, you can't do Amazon Prime on it, and if you have Amazon Prime, you can't do Apple anything.
Yeah, which sucks.
It sucks for the user. It's bullshit.
That's because, like, that's why people have, you know, several different devices. And this Caavo, I think, might change the game. So it'll be interesting to see how it works.
It will be interesting to see. I'm looking on their website right now. I'm not seeing anything about – they talk about gaming, that you can do gaming on there, but it doesn't say anything about using it with a system so far. Like a PS or an Xbox or something like that. Because if you have an Apple TV or a Roku or something like that, there are streaming games that you can use for those boxes. So we'd have to see if it allows you to use your Xbox through it, or then that would be interesting.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry about that. This device is supporting – it will support Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, Xbox, PlayStation, and Chromecast.
Gotcha.
So that's pretty crazy. And also it can act as a DVR for anything too, which is crazy.
That is cool that it can be a DVR also. That's pretty sweet.
So that right now the MSRP is $400. But I don't think it's like they're actually not shipping them out yet.
Yeah, that's not too bad for what it is.
But I mean, I think that's a pretty cool thing. Like, that would be awesome just to have one thing to go to instead of like having like 10 remotes for like your Fire Stick and your Apple TV and, you know, everything else you have.
Yeah, it's true. there are too many things that are demanding our space on our shelves. Like, come on, guys. I don't want to have to move 16 devices every time I set up my system.
Right. No, I totally agree. All right. So this is getting towards the end of our show. Does any of you have anything to want to add to our end of a show?
Well, we got Logan coming out on Friday. That's so exciting.
I'm so excited, too.
I'm ready.
I'm so completely ready. I'm just fully erect.
I don't know how else to describe it. I'm just glad that we get to talk about it. So if you guys are going to go see it Thursday night or Friday, we can definitely do a podcast right after you see it.
Yeah, I'll be seeing it. I'm not sure when I'm seeing it, but either way, next week we will be talking about Logan for sure.
Okay, good. Good. I can't wait for you to see it. It's so good.
Are there secret scenes or anything like that that we need to stay for?
So the screen I went to, there was not a tag on the end. However, I've heard rumors that they added one, but that's neither here nor there.
That's neither here nor there. So we should stay or we shouldn't stay?
We should stay.
We should stay. Yeah.
I'm staying.
There wasn't one on the end of mine, so I'll just say
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha.
But
it is here or there. It's important. This is important stuff.
I mean, most Marvel movies have something, but there wasn't one on mine, so.
Okay.
I don't know. I hope there is.
I'm just hoping we get some Deadpool action.
That would be
that would be amazing.
Jeremy, anything you want to add?
No, man, just ready for that movie.
All right, good. Well, we'll our next show will be very Logan and Wolverine centric. And again, Jeremy Magert and Jonathan Atterbury are online. Where can they find you guys?
NewAmericanFitness.net or just New American Fitness on Instagram or Facebook.
All right.
And Jeremy Magert Art on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Fantastic. And I'm Brian Kluger. You can find me at Brian Kluger on everything. And you can subscribe to this podcast. Please do and rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can just type in Multimedia Men and you will find us there. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.